And at that time, that would have been called artificial intelligence. At the moment, it's more sophisticated systems, more kind of sort of computer systems that kind of mimic the human brain. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, have a sort of a higher level of comprehension and creativity in them. And I'm using those systems at the moment.
My name is Sabine Winters, and you are listening to Future Based Podcast. Future-based veers off the beaten path to make way for a futuristic approach on questions we are facing today, with podcasts, reflections, meetup, performances, exhibitions, publications, and everything in between. In this episode, we will listen to artist Jeroen van der Most and his thoughts on the use of artificial intelligence creating art. Dutch artist Jeroen van der Most combined traditional ways of making art with data, algorithms and artificial intelligence. Jeroen describes his art as an exploration of the interplay between art history and technological progress. Fueled by a fascination for artistic heritage, AI and what the interaction teaches us about ourselves. Jeroen's art was covered by the most larger Dutch newspapers and TV programs like Tegenlicht. International media that covered his work include The Art Newspaper and Trendwatching.com. His art to date was obtained by collectors from over 20 countries, including the National Museum of New Zealand. So, Jeroen makes or co-creates AI-generated paintings. And as with every artistic expression, we can discuss if we find them aesthetic or maybe not. But to state that AI generates creative paintings, as Jeroen does, raises a whole nother discussion. Can AI be creative? What does it mean to be creative? And is this a mere discussion of semantics of the meaning about the word creativity, or is there something else going on? So how does this AI creating a painting works in general?
Well, in my most recent project, I combined AI technology, AI insights, by an AI system to make butterflies create art. So basically what I did was I built a system to an AI system that's able to recognize butterflies in video footage. And then it starts tracking these butterflies and draws lines, sort of butterfly drawings based on the flight paths of the butterflies. To experiment with a sort of fusion of AI-based, animal-based or nature-based creation. Now, basically, what you kind of do is you show a system like that. You show it all kinds of examples of short fragments from videos which contain butterflies. And then you tell it, hey, this is a butterfly in the video footage. And here's a butterfly and there's a butterfly. And then the system starts to learn. It's basically a self-learning system definition of AI currently. These are self-learning systems. It starts to learn to recognize what a butterfly is in the video footage based on, for example, the colors or the textures of a butterfly in comparison to the leaves surrounding it, etc. So 10 years ago, I was creating artworks with algorithms, sort of more kind of simple pieces of software scripting, you can call it like that. And at that time, that would have been called artificial intelligence. At the moment, it's more sophisticated systems, more computer systems that kind of mimic the human brain. In that sense, have a sort of a higher level of comprehension and creativity in them. And I'm using those systems at the moment. But well, for examples of what I did in the past was, for example, analyze all the paintings Van Gogh made in the past, like 700 or 800 paintings. Then use the AI machine learning system to analyze what the characteristics of such of the paintings were, like the forms in it, the colors, the shadows, the shapes, etc. And then make a prediction of a new painting by Van Gogh. Think about that like a sort of statistical prediction of what most likely would have been a new painting Van Gogh would have made if he would have made one more painting. And that's in that sense, that's more kind of a setup. It's also what you see if you talk about AI system generating visual imagery at the moment. Then often it's these systems that use, you put in a lot of pictures, for example, of old master paintings, of pictures of a lot of dogs, thousands of pictures of dogs. And the system starts to learn what a dog is visually. What kind of colors has it? What kind of textures has it? What kind of shape has a dog? And if it understands this, of what a dog visually is, can create all kinds of new visuals of dogs. One layer is, for example, looking for all the kinds of minor details in a picture. So, for example, hey, do I see something that looks like hair? Another layer is looking for much bigger shapes in the visual imagery it's trying to analyze. So it's all kinds of, you know, the broader characteristics. Some are looking at smaller characteristics. So mm-hmm. every layer kind of represents somehow another layer in the imagery. And we're talking now about imagery, but it's not limited at all to imagery. You can use the same principles on all sorts of material.
AI learns what a dog looks like by feeding it pictures of many, 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 many dogs. Already this raises a lot of questions. For example, what is a dog visually? So how do you determine and include everything that a dog is visually? And is the context important for artificial intelligence to distinguish a dog from a fox, for example? And in what sense could we understand AI generating a new picture of a dog as a form of creativity?
So you have to realize it's a kind of low level understanding of what a dog is visually.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's like, hey, a dog has a sort of brown, it's often a brown shape in a picture and it has something like four elements underneath it, which might be called paws, and it has a wiggling tail. And in that sense, it's kind of a hairy structure. And that, in that sense, it kind of gets to know these kinds of characteristics, what a dog is. But it doesn't have an understanding of a broader context or something, what a dog might be to, like a dog is a man's best friend or a man. It's a kind of a low-level understanding still. Systems like the gun systems, what they're called, basically what they're doing, they have one part which is a generator and one part which is a discriminator. And basically what they're doing, these two systems, they're kind of competing with each other. In the sense that, one system is analyzing the dogs, kind of knows what a dog is, and the other system is trying to generate all kinds of imagery, which kind of look like a dog. And it tries to get better at it until the discriminator can't really tell the difference anymore between what the generator is creating and what the actual images of the dog were. Can a human be creative? In my opinion, art is not really, it doesn't have to be you, but in the sense that it's not it doesn't have to be created by a human. But for now, at the moment, it will always involve a human, because it's the human who's basically starting up a process or creating a system. And it's a human at the end part, maybe curating the output, but also giving an interpretation, kind of meaning to that what is created. I see creative sort of being able to create something that's new. To create something new, you can do that at different levels. So I can create, for example, the current AI systems are able to create, for example, a new Rembrandt. So analyze all the Rembrandts that Rembrandt has made, and then analyze thousands of pictures of old masters, and then generate something that's pretty much like an old master. Can be interesting to look at and can have sort of a new perspective on old masters, but it's always within certain boundaries of the old master paintings. For example, I did an art piece a couple of months ago for Amnesty International, and I created a portrait of someone, of a human rights activist, and I created it based on all kinds of text of from postcards kids wrote to the activist. And I used the AI system to generate, to extract thousands of these text fragments, and then generate a portrait from it. That's a kind of product you would probably have never realized without technology or artificial intelligence. So in that sense, it sets some sort of new, it gives new possibilities, but that's only one aspect of it. Because the other aspect is, why would you use technology? What's the function of technology in art? Yeah, that's one of the interesting aspects of artificial intelligence, in my opinion. It's kind of a mirror. Or how are we gonna live with artificially intelligent agents in our surroundings? That's also, so our AI has several functions within art.
The exciting part about these kind of projects for me are the questions they pose to us. It almost seems that we can only give a disclosure of what intelligence is or what creativity is by letting new technologies like artificial intelligence mirror our behavior. It is like we need a counterexample in order to understand what it means to be creative as a human being.
The most interesting, more philosophical questions about artificial intelligence are in a sense that we're kind of approaching a sort of level of artificial intelligence that will reach or be general intelligence, maybe, and that it will be equal to human intelligence somewhere maybe in the next decades or something. And that's really interesting to wonder, for example, is a system which is just as intelligent as a human being, is it also conscious? Is it conscious of itself, of its own
what is thinking? Consciousness?
And what is consciousness? Yes. Yeah, and will it be creative in the sense that the human is creative? It's very interesting to study what technology is doing to our current society, where it is leading us to experiment with that. And it's giving us all these philosophical questions at the moment with the rise of artificial intelligence. It makes us think about the question of what's the difference between us, between an animal or machine or our surroundings. Is there any difference? But at the moment, you can create systems that would be able to run indefinitely and always change or always generate new output. But in practice, at the moment, it's the case that it's possible, but is it always interesting? Because the creativity level is still a bit medium. Well, the perception of art will definitely change based on. In the sense that what we define as an art object will change. So it's not going to be like art was, art's no longer a fixed object like it was in the past. A fixed painting or fixed art can be something or will become something which will be ever, can be always changing, can be always developing, can be always a living entity. That's what the art of the future based on AI. So in that sense, that's what will change what we see as art. Put it like this, if you think about art or art objects as kind of a fixed object, like, hey, it's a painting or it's a drawing or it's a video, which is always the same video if you play it again and again. Artificial intelligence is kind of creating a sort of a next level process that can always be changing and adapting to, for example, the spectator or the beholder of the art piece. Yeah, there's a lot of discussion about that, but I think you could still definitely consider the artist maker of an art piece still, because the role of the artist is still quite big. But if you compare the human art to the art by artificial intelligence, it will probably be a little bit like when you look at the art your kid created, a drawing of a kid compared to a real art piece or an adult art piece. So for a kid, it will be really difficult to imagine, if he or she has never seen it, of what an adult art piece will be like. But I don't really know what it will look like, but I think it will be, in some way, it will be really inspiring again, surprising again, giving insights again that you couldn't imagine yourself. So, and it's going to be open, it may sound weird, but it's something to expect in all kinds of levels in society. Or, for example, if you have a really intelligent artificial intelligence, general intelligence, it might be able to think of solutions we've never thought of, for example, for the climate problem. It's such a complex problem. Artificial intelligence systems with beyond human comprehension will be able to generate new solutions or give new ideas about solutions. You see it a little bit like this, like in the past, and artists use technology to create art. He or she uses like a brush to create a painting. At the moment, it's more like on a co-creation level. So we're working together with artificial intelligence, artists and artificial intelligence, to create an artwork. But at some moment, artificial intelligence will get so intelligent, so creative, that it will get above human and start making art about the human. And that's, in my opinion, a really interesting aspect about artificial intelligence, because it's kind of forcing us all to rethink these kind of boundaries or imaginary boundaries. So it's again about the question AI poses of what's the difference that's left between human, animal and machine, and what if there wouldn't be differences at all? Maybe what if it would be one system, for example, sort of one intelligent system?
This conversation raised a lot of questions for me about the meaning of the word creativity and about the change of meaning when new technologies like artificial intelligence come into play. Maybe this is the most important thing I want to take out of the conversation with Jeroen, is that the rapid development of technology forces us to look in the mirror. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to live in a society where technology affects how we behave, who we are, and maybe even who we want to be? What exactly is the relationship between people and technology? Is there such a thing as essentially human? To what extent are we already technology, and to what extent is technology already human? These questions I find incredibly interesting and also very urgent. With the future-based platform, I organize therefore, in collaboration with various experts, reading sessions, meetups and podcasts around the topics on technology, science and art. Visit futurebase.org for more information. The interludes you have listened to are actually algorithm sorting, and they are made by Timo Bingman. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe on our newsletter at futurebase.org.